Omaha Steaks semi-annual sale is here. It's a sale so nice, they do it twice a year. Save 50% site-wide on the world's best proteins, like legendary steaks, gourmet burgers, versatile chicken, pork, seafood, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code AUDIO when you shop OmahaSteaks.com today. Now is the time to save big on everything you need to serve up mouth-watering flavor, like USDA-certified tender steaks, perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers in America's heartland and delivered right to your door. With unrivaled quality and variety, every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop now at OmahaSteaks.com and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the semi-annual sale. Plus, get an extra $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, promo code AUDIO. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
News Talk Saturday.
Okay, folks, listen, you're very welcome to News Talk Saturday with me, Emmett Oliver, and what's really turning out to be a monumentous morning, certainly for the Middle East and possibly for the wider world as well. So our two newspaper panellists are coming in unique circumstances. So I have Mark Hennessy, who is Ireland and Britain editor of the Irish Times, and I have Adrienne Stewart, who is the director of Paris Court Springs Health Farm and owner of the Rainforest Spa in County Wicklow. Thank you very much for coming in, both morning. Of you. It's great to have you here. Mark, let's get your reaction first. Very, very, very dramatic developments. It tends to be the hallmark of the Trump administration. An attack, joint US-Israeli attack starting a few hours ago. Irish Times still playing out in the early stages. The New York Times speculating that this will last for several weeks. So let's just get your initial reaction.
Well, I mean, it's clearly something that they've been prepping for several weeks. I mean, we've seen all the stories about the movement of US naval assets and all of that into the Eastern Mediterranean and the Gulf. So clearly they've been preparing for this for a very long time. The actual timing, you'd have to assume that there's perhaps certain connections with domestic politics in the US, because there nearly always is with Trump, that every action he has that he takes externally has some relationship to difficulties he's having at home. And this is a president who told the American people no more wars. And, you know, just look what he's done since January with Venezuela and with Iran. And you'll also remember last June when they did their ballistic attacks on the Forfan and the other Iranian nuclear bases. They told us that the nuclear threat posed by Iran had been obliterated, and now we're back at effectively at square one. So there is always an issue of truth and lies in all of these kind of situations. They are clearly going to do weeks of attacks. They're clearly, unlike the last time when they went for assets, this time they appear to be going for the Iranian leadership. And that is going to add even more instability into the situation. Last February or last month, they told Iranian protesters, or he told Iranian protesters, you know, we're coming to help. And 30,000 of them died. So we're going to see a situation where there will be significant problems inside Iran. There will be significant protests, presumably by civilians on the ground who want rid of this regime. And equally, there will be a particularly vicious attack. And no conflict has ever been won by air power on its own. So at some point, they're going to either have to escalate beyond air power or walk away in the hope that they've brought down a leadership that's been there since the late 70s.
I mean, isn't it possible that after a few weeks of this, as you say, it'd be extremely devastating, destructive for the infrastructure in Iran, of course, but the regime may simply come out from their bunkers and bomb shelters, minus some of their leaders, yeah, and resume? Isn't that Trump's problem?
Well, it is, but I mean, there has been a lot of chatter within the American system that, you know, there's a head of a snake that you can take out and then everything else falls. That's not reflected by serious think tanks in the US who have been arguing that the Iranian regime has had much more pillars put to it over the last 5 or 10 years, and that just simply taking out the Ayatollah and
putting the Shah of Iran's descendants bizarre.
That's clearly not a sustainable strategy in any shape or form. But, you know, the Iranians can retaliate. there are two American carriers, one in the Eastern Mediterranean, one in the Gulf, that are providing air cover for Israel. So there's a lot, and the Israel's Iron Dome can take out a whole lot of other stuff. But you saw that they're attacking the US naval base in Bahrain, and there'll be more of this. And then there will be actions that will be outside of traditional military retaliation.
We hear about an explosion near Abu Dhabi airport again, some of this we're trying to confirm, but these are the... So I suppose Iran has a vested interest in regionalizing it. The US probably wants to keep it more narrow. So there's a slight sort of a fight there as well.
Well, there is. And you would assume that the Iranians are going to try and widen this as much as possible. And the Iranians have backed terrorist groups in a whole variety of different places. So that's not to say that you couldn't have attacks that have completely outside of the Middle East.
Adrian Stewart is also here. Adrian, this is a strange morning. I know you're coming in on a strange morning, but I suppose one of the things that comes to me, anyway, occurs to me personally, is what the economic implications are going to be. Obviously, this is a oil-producing region. We know Iran is a big producer, but just even the Straits of Hormuz, getting other people to ship oil out will become very difficult. So all of us are tied into this in some way.
Oh, like we all are. It's not even difficult to watch, but it will filter down the line eventually to all of us who are listening today as well. What's happened here is not a short, sharp shock like it was in Venezuela. We have a huge gamble being played out by the US president here. And this isn't going to be a tidy little conflict. This is something that the Islamic regime were never going to roll over and say nothing about. They have retaliated already. So, you know, you've already had people, you know, commenting on this. But what it's going to mean for the everyday person is more uncertainty, more volatility economically. And, you know, ultimately, we don't know how it's going to end, but ultimately, this is not good for any economy, you know, and it's not good for confidence as well in business. It's a difficult. It's not what we want to wake up to this morning.
No, and as I said, Iran, a big outputter of oil as well, but also they can affect the whole region, which I suppose will stop the shipping. Saudi Arabia will be caught up in that. Let's slightly shift you, but we're not going to be shifting you too much, because Ireland enters into this world sort of blinking its eyes and saying, where do we stand? And of course, we take over the EU presidency later on this year. And this is going to be some interesting backdrop to that. You've got Micheál Martin meeting President Trump in what about sort of 2 or 3 weeks time in the White House. So we think we're also separated from this, but we're not. We're going to be thrust into some of the diplomatic elements of this. We're not hearing good things about all of this, Mark, in terms of the EU presidency. Irish Times reporting this morning on its front page that the civil service feels a bit swamped and overrun by the whole thing and may look for backup from elsewhere. So forget the military side. Bureaucratically, we seem to be struggling.
Well, I mean, presidencies of the European Union have become more and more challenging for smaller states over the years. And this is the first time we've done it in, 13 and a half years. And there's no doubt that the bureaucratic element and the admin element has massively ramped up. It is a bit odd that we find out in February that the state is now looking to major accountancy firms and others to provide some staff for the course of the presidency. It raises all sorts of questions about conflicts of interest all over the place. And it raises questions about who pays. And, you know, the Irish Times is talking this morning about the fact that the staff from those companies will be paid by those companies and not by the state. But does that mean that there won't be a consultancy fee charged and all of the rest of it? But it is clearly a huge problem. And from the government's point of view, it has holds the danger that it will massively deflect from what they're trying to do on the domestic agenda. They'll get absolutely no credit from the public at large for running a good presidency, quote unquote, because the public won't care. And the public will only care, in a sense, if they end up in a traffic jam that's caused.
They might care if the Dublin airport is taken off.
Well, no, that's my point. It'll be traffic jams, or if there are security threats that happen as a consequence of the presidency that have a downstream effect on people's movements and everything else. So there's an awful lot of potential negatives for.
Not many positives.
And very few positives, other than, you know, senior pals always like the bigger stage. So, you know, there is that amount of thing. The Joe public isn't going to care.
I was quite surprised this morning. Now, the Department of Foreign Affairs, and it could have changed since we came on air, but they had no statement at all on what was happening in Iran. Now, I know they need to parse their words and be very, very careful what they say, but there sort of was a sense of like we're catching up with events here a little bit. I wouldn't
overread that. We don't, we're not the United States. Everybody in the world is not hanging on what the Irish think about any event that happens on the global stage. So, you know, perhaps there's time for us to stay shtum on things. So I wouldn't get overly bothered about that. I think there is a...
But we will be in the White House when this campaign is still going on, it looks like.
No, we will. But we're not going to be in the presidency at that point. And there's going to be a million and one other items on the agenda. And as always in the Trump presidency, the important thing for Micheál Martin is to get in and get out alive.
But that's my point. I get the sense from the government representatives, so we can sort of bob and weave out of a lot of this stuff that's going on the world stage. And I don't know if we can. We'll have to declare, do we condemn this action or not condemn it? Or, you know what I mean? I just think it's going to be difficult for them to pitch the message where they want to put it.
Well, you know, that's the 17th of March or 1 or 2 days before it. This is the 28th of February. The situation will have changed fundamentally by the time Micheál Martin gets to the White House. And any prediction one was to make today would be effectively well-worn by the time the shamrock has to be presented. I wouldn't get overly bothered about that. There will be a whole rake of things changing between now and then. And like I said at the start of it, the world isn't going to be hanging on what Micheál Martin says in the White House about
Iran. It's true. Adrian, the other part of this is trying to make the country look good during the Irish Times, talking about whatever look good means. I mean, we're all trying to put our best foot forward. Nobody wants any big domestic incidents. A lot of people would be quite cynical about this and say, well, should we not be doing these things? We're outside an EU presidency. But there does seem to be this sort of push to make sure we give a good account of ourselves during this 6 months.
And I think that's fair, and we want to represent ourselves well. But I think, though, from the taxpayers' point of view, we need to have transparency on what this is going to cost us. Because if we're going to consultancy firms and we're basically saying, we need help, we really need your staff, you know, what are those consultancy fees? Because, you know, it's not an open invoice that we the taxpayer have to pay. So, I mean, yes, we absolutely will have an onerous amount of admin and extra work involved in taking over the presidency. But what's it going to cost us? And I think we need to ask for those figures and be clear that we need those figures before we pay them. So I think also the conflict of interest that Mark had brought up as well before is, you know, we need to be careful about information sharing as well when you do have private sector staff in the public sector environment as well. So all of those need to be taken into account. But yeah, absolutely, we need to put our best foot forward. We need to make sure that any leaders that are here, that security is in place. We don't have a huge volume of security personnel spare hanging around to basically help us manage this presidency. So, you know, there's going to be
A lot of it seems to be we will have stuff in place by the time the presidency starts, which makes me a little bit nervous, you know, that it's running that. Maybe that's just the nature of the beast to a certain extent. But a lot of this is we're going to have procure this anti-drone technology. Kind of like if anything knocks the thing off course, you're really building very little redundancy into that. You're saying hopefully it'll hit this target. So I just think, for me anyway, the politics, and Mark might come in, is to me the politics, if in a worst case scenario, admittedly, you have, you know, French, you know, ships or the RAF flying through our skies to deter certain drones, to me, I think the Irish people actually would have a problem with that, just from the point of view of sort of the sovereignty being encroached, and also just why are we so dependent on these others? And I understand the practicalities of why we are, but I think the public view is quite divorced from the reality of what we can do and not do. Sorry, Mark, you want to come in? You're getting excited.
Well, I wouldn't use the word excited, but the public is going to have to wake up and make some choices at some point. Every time people talk about security and defence, if the instinctive reply of a whole clatterload of people is that you want to Irish sons to die in Flanders and you want us to join NATO, then that is not a mature conversation about security and defence. We have interests and assets and things to protect, everything from the cables to energy interconnectors, all of which are going to become more frequent and more significant to our national security. There are things that the Irish state must protect, and there, whether we need to be spending on the army in terms of tanks and armored personnel carriers, one can argue. But when it comes to Navy,
no, I agree. And what was really interesting last week was they outlined the military doctrine. Maybe this is well known, Mark. You may know this. I didn't know it. But in this maritime strategy they released last week, they had a section on what is official Irish military doctrine, which is we need to have enough equipment and capability to delay until an ally can come to our aid. That is the official Irish military doctrine, which I'm fascinated by. Maybe everyone else knew about it before that. But
yeah, well, I mean, that was the official military doctrine during the emergency in World War II, you know. I mean, that is the reality of it. But we're not neutral, you know. I mean,
Irish Independent, John Downing has an interesting piece picking up on this, Mark. You want to tell the listeners, it's an interesting article that he has teasing it out.
And he's highlighting the kind of challenges that that are coming down the tracks at us. And the fact that at some point in all of this, we are going to have a mature conversation about what are our interests. Like I said, every time we have a conversation, we get into things like the triple lock and everything else. It comes down to simple declarations of NATO and all the rest of it. And it is far more complicated than that. And if you look at the next number of weeks and months, the government is going to try and move on the triple lock legislation. That's going to provoke dull rows that one could predict, and it's going to provoke public criticisms because the public is remarkably tied to this concept as it understands it of neutrality. If the government manages to get that legislation passed in the Oireachtas, then it'll go to the president, and it'll be the president's first really major test as to whether she sends it to the Supreme Court or whether she signs off on it. People who elected her would certainly be very upset if she signs off on it, so you have to assume that there'd be a Supreme Court a recommendation or a referral. That then leaves the issue open as to what would the Supreme Court do, and would it prompt a referendum?
Well, yeah, let's see. I hadn't thought she would go to that extent. But yeah, who knows? She's untested, as you said, only in her first 100 days. We have Ursula von der Leyen, of course, EU Commission President, calling for maximum restraint and all protection of civilians in relation to what's happening in Iran. I suppose reasonably predictable. She says the developments are greatly concerning. We will, of course, feed you in with various things that are happening as this conflict widens and intensifies throughout the next hour and a half or so. Adrian, let's move on to something slightly different, more domestic, but again, a little bit of a cringy, kind of an embarrassing story in the Daily Mail. We have Dublin Bus with 98 electric buses there reporting that are lying idle for want of chargers.
Yeah, it's just an example of a lack of joined up thinking. Basically, €65 million worth of buses are sitting parked up because we've no chargers to charge them. And I mean, I personally don't understand how orders were placed for the actual vehicles and the infrastructure wasn't put in place for them to be actually on the road. It's not clear from the article what, in fact, is the delay, where they ordered, and is there a delay on them arriving? There is talk that they are going to be on the road in the next number of months. But having said that, they have been lying idle for months already. And, you know, with so many people, I suppose, struggling to even get through, they're crying out for public transport. This does not make any sense, and I think would make a lot of people very frustrated and lose faith in, you know, the helicopter thinking that we have here. We're spending a lot of money, but are we spending
That's what's getting back to the military subject. It's a lot of this is around procurement, poor procurement. So we've great intentions, poor procurement.
Yeah, well, we've money to spend and we're spending it, but are we spending it wisely? And clearly this is a great example of we are not doing that, because, you know, buying infrastructure that can't be yet used is really no good to the people who've actually paid for it.
Mark, if I gave you 6 weeks training, would you be ready to drive a bus?
Well, I certainly wouldn't get my parking this morning.
The Daily Mail reporting on page 10 today, is 6 weeks enough to be trained to drive a bus around the streets of Dublin and other cities?
Yeah, I can think of a few people who might be listening to this who were slightly chuckling and listening to me talking about driving cars. No, it doesn't. It doesn't seem enough. I mean, the German, the Mail story is talking about the German training scheme lasting for 3 years. That at first thought does seem excessive and particularly German. But clearly, I certainly wouldn't feel comfortable driving a bus down the quays in Dublin in peak traffic after 6 weeks training.
No, I think like the reason I suppose Dublin Bus is scrambling for drivers is, and they have recruited many drivers recently and had a success on that front. But, you know, the problem is retention of the drivers, because it's a difficult job.
Well, you know? The one thing about this that I'm curious about now, if the detail is here, I've missed it, is 6 weeks a reduction? Or was 6 weeks always what they did?
It's. I believe it's always what they did. And again, I can...
Right, well,
it's a lot more traffic, you know. Anyway, listen, guys, I'm going to have to leave it there. You know the kind of the morning it is, so I have to go a little bit earlier than usual. Adrian Stewart, thank you very much. And Mark Hennessy, thank you very much.
News Talk Saturday.
Omaha Steaks semi-annual sale is here. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, gourmet burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with promo code AUDIO at omahasteaks.com. Shop now to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during Omaha Steaks semi-annual sale. Plus, get an extra $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code AUDIO. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.